Brisbane Wakes Up with Steph, Abby and Matt on B105.
Hello, podcasters.
Hello, everybody.
Thanks for downloading.
Yeah, good show today. We welcome in our new Prime Minister, Albanese. He wouldn't come on because he's too big for us now, so we just played a whole bunch of stuff when we talked to him before.
He will, but I thought we... about that, Ash, because we said let's lock in everyone for Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of them say yes? Because we said lock in the Greens, lock in ScoMo, lock in Albanese. Did no one confirm?
No one outwardly confirmed. So it was all like, we've got to see what happens on Saturday. You're on the list, but it's pending, all pending results. And then Albo's people were really quiet, like even the week before the election. Remember how we had Mr. Scott Morrison on and we were trying to get Albo on? It was really hard. So, yeah.
I guess it is hard, especially like Albo, now that he is going to be Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Like they've got to do a big information dump on him.
Hmm.
You know, like they've got to... He needs to learn the codes. He's got to pick the colours for Kirribilli. Like he's got a lot of shit to do.
I wonder if his girlfriend would ever do interviews. She's not ready for it. They've only been dating for 2 years. What about Toto?
Toto? The dog? I can ask.
He's everywhere. He knows all the secrets. Have you not seen him?
I would interview Toto. We could use that dog psychic I used to interview Red Dog.
Yes. Do you know what I did admire? This is what I really do like. And I know that everyone's got their own scenarios of why they broke up. But when you have Albanese out there on the trail, right, trying to get votes, and you have his ex-wife putting her hand up to look after
the kids,
dog.
The dog.
Oh, no, their son is 21.
Yeah.
Look after the dog. Then I go, you've obviously worked out, even though you were heartbroken in 2019 when she broke up with you, you've worked out that you can remain friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then she was there on the night supporting him.
Also, too, I mean, it's of more benefit for your ex-husband to be the Prime Minister than not the Prime Minister.
Not really, because they're not getting any money anymore. Their son's grown up. There's no... It's all done. The divorce is done.
Plus, you didn't get to be married to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, but you might get money to keep the secrets.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's in politics as well.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah. But they actually get along well, and I really admire that when someone breaks up, but they can still go.
You can look like... One way to look like a really great person is to not rag out your ex. I think, God, that makes people look at you like you're a good person.
My nan always said that. Never date someone who pays out their ex because that will just be you. And I was like, what?
And I would do that, but my ex was a nightmare. So
it's like, you know, the guy's always got the crazy ex.
Oh, didn't I get stuck with that a few times? Oh, my girlfriend, like my ex-girlfriend, she thinks we're still together. We're totally not. She's just crazy.
I mean, all my stuff's at her house. I've got to go pick it up. We broke up 2 years ago.
I thought he was just in between houses and the removalist truck was coming.
I sleep on the couch, I promise.
Next week, that's why he was staying with friends.
Yeah, of course.
The crazy ex-girlfriend was just calling him all the time.
She just turns up everywhere. I don't even know how she knows where I am. But you know what? You've got to learn that for yourself, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, mine was a hard, hard lesson.
It's okay. You married him in the end, which is good. Hey, let's get into it. Here's the podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Prime Minister says he'll stand aside as party leader.
I, as leader, take responsibility for the wins and the losses. That is the burden and that is the responsibility of leadership.
Yeah, Scott Morrison is packing up Kirribilli quite soon. I think he probably is not personally doing it. He's probably got some people.
No, he'd do it.
Is he? And moving out. Jenny can't pick up things with those sleeves. And it's not going to work. But, yeah, they are moving in now. We've got Albanese going in. And hopefully if you didn't vote for him, he can win you over. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you did vote him, may he not disappoint you. But they're looking at who's going to take over from Scott Morrison and the Liberal Party. And they have said that they are presuming that it's going to be Peter Dutton. And I just went, oh, I don't have anything personally against him. But for me, not a choice I would have went for, because if they look back and they go ScoMo, they're saying the election was kind of won and lost, you know, with climate change, with the younger people, also with the woman's vote, with how they dealt with some huge scandals that happened.
Mm.
Isn't he quite similar?
Well,
like, wouldn't you have to go with someone a little bit different?
Mm.
Like, his views on climate change are even
worse
than what ScoMo's are. So if you didn't get elected on that, why would you do that? And I said this, and Manny had a point. I thought, that's interesting. You said,
I believe he's the one before the one. So put Dutton in. Let him go for a year.
Let him do his little thing.
And then a year and a half or 2 years out before the next election,
yeah,
bring in someone who they actually want.
I went, but that comment's a little bit of a trigger for some of my friends. Because we used to always be like, do you think that you're the one before the one?
Mm.
And you'd have to say it because often they had been with someone and one of my friends had been with them for 8 years and he just wasn't the marrying type.
Right.
He was never going to settle down. Uh-huh. She wanted to get engaged. She sort of said, look, a year, if you're not going to engage, then maybe we're over. Okay. 2 years later.
Yep.
She was still hanging there and she was like, that's it. We broke up. He got engaged 6 months later.
I hate that.
6 months later.
I hate that. My friend, happened to my friend.
She invested all that.
Yeah.
And she made him the man he was.
and then gave him to someone else. You sample my delights. Yeah, happened to my friend, though. She was with a guy for ages. She wanted kids. He's like, I don't want kids. I don't want kids. But that's what broke them up after about maybe 8 years. A month. Not a month.
No.
Two months. He had a girl pregnant, and now he's got like 3 kids. And she cries herself to sleep every night.
Has she not met anyone?
No. That was the one for her, not the one. Not the waiting for the next one.
Oh, he was the one. She was the one.
But she was the
one before the one.
Yeah.
How long? We want to know on 13, 10, 60. Have you been the one before the one? Or maybe you have dated the one before the one. Do you know, like, maybe you dated someone for a very long time and you're like, this is as good as it gets. And then all of a sudden you're like, no, I met the one.
Mm.
The other one. Do you know when you're with the one before the one?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I don't. Peter Dutton's here in Brisbane, and I don't want to be the one that's told him. And I don't think he knows that his people are voting for him as the one before the one. He doesn't know.
I think he does know.
He doesn't know. Deep down, he says he knows, but he says, oh, look, I know, guys, but deep down he thinks I could turn this around.
Yes, no, that's right.
I could turn this around. I could make them love me.
They say I am, but I know I can win them over.
He doesn't know he's the one before the one.
That's why he does know he's the one before the one, because he thinks I have to be the best I can be now, but it doesn't matter. Once you're the one before the one, there's nothing you can do.
So what is the one before the one quality? Is it the training? Uh-huh. Like, do you know, like, the are they just nice?
I think they also
nice?
They teach you
what
everything. They teach you everything that you don't want.
And they present as the package. So on paper they're good.
There's no spark.
There's no feeling.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the inside.
It's all perfunctionary.
Now we've said that. If anyone could tell us if you were the one before the one, would like to know how it's sort of how it's gone for you. Maybe it's been a blessing in disguise.
It always is.
There you go, Dutton.
Sleep well, buddy. When he does his exit speech, he goes, well, I know I would be the one before the one.
Abby and Matt warned me this would happen, and I didn't listen.
Abby in Ipswich.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I was. 3 times.
You've been the one before the one 3 times. What happened?
3 times. Not much. We broke up and they all got married afterwards.
Wow. What was the quickest one that got married after?
8 months.
Yeah, that's not nice.
No.
Because you still want them to be like, oh, God, I miss Abby. And you're like, yeah, well, you had your chance.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're lost, mate.
Yeah.
How long was the one before the one relationship, though?
3.5 years.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a pretty good time, yeah. But then you can also always refer to her as the rebound girl, you know? It sort of works that way.
Oh, yeah, that's a very thin thread to hold on to.
Look
at him with the rebound girl with their 3 kids and their mansion. That's never going to last.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. You reckon you've got this going on. You're a bit like Good Luck Chuck, the movie.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's not really with girls that have dated for a really long time, but it's just one of those things, like, you look them up on Instagram later on, and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but originally when I met them, they might be, like, a business person, but after being with me, they seem to turn into a hippie and be married 6 months later, so I'm not sure what's going on, but, yeah.
What are you doing, Tommy?
Actually, I am the problem causing them to go through the midlife crisis, I think.
Wow.
You should give a girl a warning when she swipes right on you in Tinder to say, just want to let you know.
Are you with someone now, Tommy?
I'm engaged now, actually, and I've got a daughter, but if you know, I could still be the one before the one.
No, you're not, Tommy, you're not.
It did sound like you were kind of hoping for that.
Oh, we've got Anonymous on. Anonymous, do you think you're the one?
I think that I am the one and that he's still with the one before the one.
Oh.
Oh, so he doesn't know you're the one?
No, he does. When we caught up again, we've known each other for ages. Mm. He moved for work and came back to Brizzy, the family, and he said, look, he didn't realise he'd feel the same, and I said I knew he was with someone else, and I said, well, what ticked all the boxes? What was the difference between the two of us? And he said, I don't know that I want to answer that. And then he told me that he was with her out of convenience and loneliness, and he just needed to think about the situation. But right. She came with, her plus three, and I said, look, I don't have those extras, and if that's, important to you, that's really four hearts that you're breaking instead of, my heart. And that's how we left it. And he said, if we circle back around, and we keep circling back around, that's the thing. We've known each other since 2015.
Right. Mm. See, that sounds like a different topic. You know, when someone says that they might be leaving.
Well, Dutton will probably do that too. Once he gets a taste for it, he's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
So, how long are you going to wait to?
Or are you going
to
wait
the top job?
I'm not waiting, but it's certainly a benchmark for me to, I'm not just going to lie down for anybody, sort of thing. But if the right person comes along and they tick all the boxes, then sure. But
you'll be their one.
They haven't as yet, and it is what it is, and. It's like the movie The Notebook.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Mm, well.
Well, I guess we've learnt today that relationships and politics are very much the same.
They're exactly the same thing.
Broken promises, not following
through. You just don't get
things.
A sausage.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Hi, Williamson. It's great to have him on. Taylor from Hanson. Good morning. Oh, technical difficulties.
Oh, he's not there.
I can see him.
Got lovely blonde locks.
Yeah, he's just dyed his hair.
Mm.
Cameron Munster did that. Melbourne Storm too, maybe.
Why do you compare everything to why do you compare everything to him? Is he the guy that people said you look like?
Yes.
And you kept saying he's a really good-looking guy?
Yes.
Are you dyeing your hair next?
Yes.
I never said that. I'm just trying
God. Imagine Jonathan Thurston. How upset he is.
That he's been taken.
Yeah.
He's been surpassed.
Yeah.
Well, no one's ever said he looks like Jonathan Thurston, for obvious reasons.
No, I'm sure he's a good-looking guy, if that's who you want to look like.
Never
but it's just stop comparing yourself. All right, we're going
to
come back.
Just
we'll see if we can
fill
get him.
The time.
Just throwing names up there. Yeah, Cameron Munster did something. He did something. How we doing? Good.
How the Bronx, eh?
Peek behind the curtains, guys. We're meant to talk to Isaac.
Mm.
So, yes, so we got all the questions for Isaac.
And then we got given Taylor.
Which I'm happy with. Are you happy with?
Oh, I'm absolutely happy with any one of them. Yeah, they're all a delight.
So he's sitting in his house right now and we can see him on the screen.
Isaac, can you hear us?
No.
Taylor. Taylor, can you hear us? Which he cannot.
He can't.
Or if he is, he's playing a great job at pretending.
Yeah.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor. No.
Nah, let's give up.
All right, that was fun.
It was good. It was good to catch up again.
It was lovely.
I hope you guys had fun. So that was just all celebrating their 30 years of Hanson.
One of our best interviews, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
Put that
what
in
was
for
your
a
favorite
radio
part?
I like the controversial.
What are you guys good at? Technical stuff and, like communication.
That would be a really great award for the radio awards to be like the team that got through a technical difficulty with the best.
Taylor.
Hey there.
Hey.
Well, that's all we've got time for now. No, we're joking. We've been spending a couple of minutes trying to get you on, and we're talking about your hair, which looks amazing. You've dyed it.
That's very kind.
A lot of upkeep in hair like that, though, because it's like bright blonde.
Oh, yeah. I've never messed with it. I've never done anything. And then about a year ago, I was like, why not?
Well, we're a family.
Thank you.
We had lots of time to reflect. Hey, I love this. You are coming back to Australia on your red, green, blue tour, celebrating 30 years of Hanson. Amazing. But this is the first album. Each one of you guys went off and wrote your part of the album.
Yeah, we've always been really focused on that message of the collective, what we do together, being kind of this united force. And you know, coming up on this year, everyone was, we really just want to do something different. And this is actually an idea Isaac had sort of had for a long time. So, hey, what if we were to break it up in this way? And I thought, well, hey, this is definitely different. And, you know, part of what keeping a career going is just doing things that are interesting and doing things that you find interesting. I think a lot of people go the opposite way. They go, hey, this is what everyone expects. Boom, let's try and rinse and repeat. We don't want to divert. But we've always written it. We've always played. We've always been a band of three writers, three players, three singers. And this just kind of highlights it in a different way.
A lot of things have changed over, you know, the 30 years, and I can hear that you are hiding somewhere in the house. Is that because the kids are in the background? Where is your place that you normally hide for interviews?
I'm not actually in my house. I'm actually in Los Angeles. We're doing some media, you know, our record just came out, as you know, and we're talking about. So I just have our littlest human with us, my wife and I. But yes, she is definitely letting herself be known. But, you know, I mean, we have seven kids, so.
Mm. Yeah, but that's why it would be a holiday. If you get to go away with your wife with just one kid, it's like, woo!
Exactly. It feels like nothing.
Who does looks after the rest of the children while you're away? You must have a bit of a team.
Yeah, we have a great, you know, tight family. Mom's-in-law and my mom and you know, cousins and aunts and uncles. So, and definitely have some hired help where needed, but mostly family. And thankfully, we have that.
Lovely. Yeah.
What was your experience like on The Masked Singer? Because it looked so fabulous for you guys to be the band for the first time actually competing.
You know, The Masked Singer honestly was a lot of fun. It was bizarre to do all of that performance inside of those absurd costumes. Something I never would have predicted we'd have done. But honestly, just the pandemic and the timing of everything, it was one of those things you just don't say yes to things like that. You're on the road, you're doing something. To be able to block out, you know, multiple weeks and be in there, it was so different. But it was, in the end, a lot of fun. I really can't say enough about the show. They treat everybody really well, and you just have to go there. You have to say fully, like, I'm not going to think of this as if it's some creative statement. I'm just going to go with the game of it. And also, we get asked about different things, you know, being on this show or that, dancing with the whatever. Mm. And those things have come up, and we've always been like, well, we don't really do any of those things. But singing, that's really what we do. So, I mean, maybe like Rock and Roll with the Stars, we'd love that.
Were you against The Masked Singer, though? Because you're like, I've just done my hair all good, now I'm going to cover it up with a mask on now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, there is something really wild. You know, we've been a band all these years. We've made many records. We've, you know, started a label. We've done all these things throughout, you know, our life. And it's hard to get, make beer, but it's hard to get a reboot. It's hard to get any kind of like fresh, here it is, like look at this without having a perception about it, good or bad. So that was also, I think, a really interesting thing about doing the Masked Singer show. And frankly, with this record, you know, doing something that really kind of flips the script a little bit.
Well, you are coming to Brisbane for your Red, Green, Blue tour. You're celebrating 30 years of Hanson. Before we let you go, we've actually dug back 30 years into the past, and we have some audio grabs and interviews.
You've got to remember, the audio's not great, so you really need to listen hard because it's, you know, over 30 years ago. But we want to see if you can pick which one of you, or maybe your brothers, is saying this, and maybe if you could tell us the scenario, okay?
Let's try.
First one.
Okay, here we go.
Our parents forced us into this! Help us!
Well, that's obviously Zach. The youngest brother, highly peaked on sugar. Still, he actually still has the same response to sugar.
If I remember correctly, back in those days, he was a terror for you guys too, wasn't he? Because he was the youngest one, and he'd always fly off in interviews, and you guys were like, can you just be cool, please?
Well, you have to keep in mind, Zach has always had a sense of humor, and he's definitely has gone off and been a little bit of a terror in interviews. But the truth is, he also had such confidence and such... In retrospect, you got to give him credit. He was 11 or 12 years old drumming and carrying that all over the world. And at some point, you get kind of comfortable in interviews, comfortable in front of, you know, doing that role, and almost comfortable sometimes because that's your, you know, that's what you do. You've done it over and over. So I got to give him props. He had a lot to hold together, especially with the amount of Mountain Dew we were, you know, giving him daily.
Yeah. All right. Another one here.
I think it was really in the genes was kind of how that started. But I actually wrote my first song was when I was in third grade.
Well, that's Isaac.
Yeah. We really can't trick you with this, can we?
Very good.
We forget you spent a lot of time with them in hindsight. Okay,
to be fair, you're talking about two people I've spent 30 years doing this with. So, we didn't exactly pick a man on the street.
Well, hey, we're looking forward to it here in Brisbane, the Red, Green, Blue Tour. This thing is going to pack out, so get your tickets, go and check it out. Great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for phoning in.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You guys know that I take family movie night at my house very seriously. Every Friday night, we all gather around the TV, me, Rosie and Kat, if she's home, and we watch a family movie. And I see it more of not of a time of fun and relaxation. It's an educational time. Time for her to learn the good films. And
has she had to watch Jaws yet?
No, I'm waiting for that one. It's soon. I've been waiting because, you know, that's a bit...
So what you're doing is you're making her watch the movies that you loved and hope that she likes them.
Yeah.
Whatever if she says that's crap, Dad?
She wouldn't. She knows the rules.
Okay.
Yeah, she knows.
To a gunpoint.
No, it's fine. She gets popcorn.
She gets popcorn. Well, no, but we're doing all the classics. So we've watched all the Star Warses. She liked those. We've done all the Indiana Joneses. She liked those as well. We've done all the Star Treks. I put a lot of thought into which ones we're going to do. We've done all the Men in Blacks. She liked that
as well. Did she like Star Trek?
She did like Star Trek, yeah.
Oh, okay. Does she get to pick one?
Yeah, occasionally. never works out well. Sometimes. She liked Turning Red. She picked that one. She loved that one. And so I tend to think about it for a while and toss up, you know, this one, this one, this one. Which one hasn't she seen yet? Which one's appropriate for her age? And on Friday night, I settled on The Fifth Element.
Oh, such a good movie.
Can I say
it's one of my favourite movies.
That's why I love both of you, actually, because you both asked me what I was up to, and I said, oh, we're watching The Fifth Element, and you both replied with the exact same response.
Solid choice.
Oh, that's exactly word for word.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. A solid choice.
I thought you were taking the piss, to be honest.
No, it's a solid choice.
Solid.
Why would it not be?
Because you know what? Even... there's no one who, if you're not into that type of movie,
it's colourful.
It's still a cool spectacle.
And Mila, what's her name?
Mila Jovovich. Oh. Yeah, big bada boom.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
She was in that. And
Bruce Willis, of course, yes. And but this was
Chris
the
Rock?
Weird thing.
No, who's the comedian? Chris Tucker. Okay.
Corbin, my man. Corbin, my man. Corbin.
I want to watch it now.
Okay, well, we can do another viewing of it. But something strange occurred, and I didn't realize this until it happened, because when they, no spoilers, this is an old movie, but they make Mila Jovovich from a cell that they find, and they recreate her. And when they do that, she is born, effectively, and she is naked. She is completely naked.
Is this before she get the straps on her?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And born as an adult, not as a baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So fully grown, naked adult female. And then things happen, gets wet, raining, stuff. She gets changed. And when she gets changed, she just whips off her top and her boobs are there. And Rory turned to me and said, Dad, I said, yeah. She goes, what's happening? I said, what do you mean? She goes, they've forgotten to blur the naughty bits. I was like, what? Because they haven't blurred, the filmmakers made a mistake and they haven't cut away and you can see her. I was like, yeah, but sometimes there's nudity in films. And it was the first time she had seen nudity in a movie.
Why?
At all. And she was fine with it. She was like, I've never seen it. I didn't know they did that. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they cover up their...
You don't let her watch the SBS at home?
I don't know what she does when I'm not there.
That's interesting because that's PG.
Mm.
So if we changed our...
Is it not?
Because Fifth Element is PG movie.
Yeah, PG-13.
Yeah. Mm. So then I took the kids. I probably shouldn't have taken Chloe. He's only three. But we went and took him to...
It.
He loved it. Look at the pretty clowns. No, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
And that's M. Mm. But there's no nudity. But there's a lot of violence. So it's really weird our thing where you're like, you're allowed to have...
Well, that's because...
So are we going opposite where we're getting more prudish?
Maybe. Because I went back through all my... I just assumed. I was like, Ghostbusters, no, there's nothing there. And yeah, there's just... Not that I was shying away from it. I just had accidentally done a movie that... And then I had to do... I don't know if you guys have had to do this yet as a parent, but then there was a sex scene and I had to fast forward it.
No,
not really. Yeah. It depends. I like them to be more realistic. So I can say to the kids, it's not all that. That's bad lighting. It depends who I'm watching it with. Finny's 10 now, so Finny's a bit... Rory, you've probably got a year. Like, we will have conversations quite openly with him about different stuff, yeah.
Was she more looking at you going, I know why you like this movie now, Dad? Nothing to do with the storyline.
I guess because I paused it.
So what did she say when you fast-forward it, though?
No, I did that subtly, so she didn't know. I was like, not this bad, but look over there. Fast-forward, now the ship's taking off.
All right.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Tomorrow is the 24th of May. It's a Tuesday and we will play Alpha Bucks for 10K as we do every single day. Here are some answers to make it easy for you to win the money.
Yes, indeed. They are Tutu, Tarantulas and Tina Fey.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I got a ball.
Well, it was all about the sausage on Saturday. That really did take a focus for everyone. Are you getting your democracy sausage? I think it's because the website's gone up so people could find it. My husband was headless because we did a postal vote. I was like, you can still go to Bunnings. He's like, yeah, it's not the same.
Well, cook them at home. Why do you just buy a six-pack?
He does every time. He goes and cooks them. He says it. But it's nice when someone else cooks them for you.
They do taste different.
He gets fussy with the smell.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We did our own democracy sausage here on Friday. We cooked up heaps.
Yeah,
we did.
Good cleaning, Matty. You did clean the barbie very well. Well done.
Nothing's more annoying than going to a barbecue and it hasn't been cleaned by the previous person. It's just rude.
It's rude. Yeah, it's rude. Hey, but we do have a new PM, Albanese. And we did say, do you want to come on the show this morning? And he's busy being like sworn in or something.
I don't know what he's doing. I think he's forgotten us. He's forgotten the little people.
That's what I want to remind him. Yeah. Because we had an open forum. We allowed him to come on the show.
Anytime, he did.
And he... He kind of owes us. And I feel like a little bit it was like, hey, in high school, vote for me. And you go, cool, we voted for you. And they were going to give you something. But then it's like, hey, now you need to pay up.
Yeah.
You have to deliver. Buy me lunch twice. This was the deal.
The new laptops for everyone. That was always a classic.
Lemonade in the bubblers.
Donuts on Fridays. Yeah. But I just want to remind him that we are friends and that he does actually owe us. Now, we thought he only owed us once, but he owes us twice.
Yep.
Because twice you'll hear that he's promised to do something that he hasn't done for us.
I think it was one of his major election promises.
Our 31st Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will be sworn in tomorrow before heading off to Tokyo to attend the Quad meeting.
I intend to run an orderly government and it starts here, so behave.
They've cut a lot of blows where they lost a scummo. Now they need someone to lead. Everyone said screw it, no one wants to do it. Up steps Mr. Albanese. Albanese.
You still getting up on the decks? You spinning the ones and twos?
I am. I played at the ESPY.
Every year we do R&B Fridays. It's our huge concert, right? I'm giving you the opportunity right now.
Yeah.
DJ at R&B Fridays. DJ Albo.
I'm the guy. You're on.
Oh, really?
You're accepting?
You're on, absolutely.
Oh, hey. Man.
What happened to Bill Shorten?
You know, we thought we were having a very friendly chat and then it's been picked up that he lied about dessert.
As a kid, Bayonetta was something but literally only had on your birthday.
Is a kid when you are 18? Because you would have been 18 at the time when it came out.
This great scandal that got picked up by the Prime Minister's Dirt Unit. Whether I was 18 or whether I was 14, a fond memory I have of having Bayonetta with my mum.
Yep.
When you were 18, not when you were 10.
Whether I was 18 or 19 or 13 or 14, who gives a rat?
Yeah.
No matter how you voted, the government I lead will respect every one of you every day.
You've DJed before. We want you to do a DJ set at Abby's 40th birthday party.
I love Eminem.
I have one shot at doing it.
We are going to get you right now.
See what I did
Eminem.
There?
I like it.
I saw what you did. Nice work, Albo.
The Eagles never sounded better.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you for letting us know who it was. Yeah. He owes us two DJ sets, and I know that he's busy, but he's paying up.
I think we'd be happy with one, wouldn't we?
If we better be a good one.
I'm not sure he'll do it now, though.
Why? Because he's
big.
A PM.
Well, you can't go from DJing one day to negotiating with Putin the next.
Yeah.
Why? You know? So you're saying you didn't respect the leader of the opposition, but now he's in charge. He can't do it?
I don't think it'll.
I reckon
happen.
He can combine the two. Put your hands up for Ukraine. Put your hands up for Ukraine.
Played the ukulele. Is that where he got out?
Well, how did that go for him?
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Headaches, rashes and difficulty breathing. Ipswich residents say a stench blanketing their homes is making them sick, and they're pleading for the state government to take urgent action.
Shout out to the residents in Ipswich. We'd love to hear from you about how bad this is. We were talking about it a while ago because we thought they were getting smell cops.
That's right. They had sniffer police, didn't they?
Well, yeah. And they were going around trying to report on the bad smells. Mm. And it's still happening. And they're saying residents in Ipswich are now, as you heard, suffering nausea, chest pains. Some people saying they've got skin conditions to do with the terrible odour.
And nothing worse than when you say to someone, can you smell that? And they say no. You know, you're like, no, smell. And they're like, I can't smell anything.
You can't smell burning toast?
All of a sudden you're like, oh, hang on, is that me? Yeah. Is it just me?
Is it emanating from myself?
Yes, you know.
Well, my smell hasn't come back since COVID.
At all.
So that's what I'm always saying, yeah.
So you have to move to Ipswich.
I don't know. It's come back a little bit, but I'd still say it's probably like 80% gone.
And the cat's the same.
Yeah.
Wow, that's been like 4 months, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how to get it back. A friend of mine said, I've got to go and see this tapping person, and they tap your body. Tap, 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 tap. And then your smell comes back.
Like you know, pressure point thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. So I've got to work that out. But I would just want to hear from people in Ipswich how bad this is. Is it getting worse? People are saying it smells like dirty nappies.
Ugh.
But is there, how many tips are around there then?
Well, I know that there was, the residents in Ipswich were getting very annoyed because a lot of rubbish was being dumped there.
Yeah.
And the councils were, I think, taking rubbish from outside the Ipswich area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
From other councils, and they were making money out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what they weren't happy about because they thought that was causing some of it.
Well, they reckon 16,000 complaints since 2018, so there's got to be something going on. There's nothing worse, too, because you can't escape smell. You know, like you can shut your eyes if you don't want to look at something. You can plug your ears if you don't want to hear anything. You can't, you just, it's always around. You're not going to wear a peg on your nose the entire time.
No, and especially if it's outside. But I would say if it's making them sick, that's next level. Because when you normally say a smell, you're like, oh, well, it doesn't really affect you too much.
No.
If it's just a bad smell. But yeah, the mayor said that she's going to ask the Queensland Health to intervene and launch a probe into the waste odour.
I mean, if you're in Moorooka, you don't mind the smell because it's just wheat bix from the sanitarium thing. Like, every time I drive down Ipswich Road, I'm
that
like...
That makes you hungry.
No, well, that's so good. I would totally live next to a bakery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think you get sick of it after all? Because even a good smell, I think you would get sick of it after all.
You know how many candles I burn at my house? I've never got sick of them. I've never gone, you know what? That's enough for me. No more candles.
What about a Lynx factory?
Or did I just I'd Lynx do a Lynx factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm standing over my candles going...
Nothing.
A little bit's getting through.
Mm.
Well, 13 10 60. If you live in this Ipswich area, where the smell is,
is it getting worse?
What is it, and what does it smell like exactly?
Mm.
I have heard, and people might be able to confirm, different times of the day. I think like dusk, it's smellier.
Oh, why would that be?
I'm not sure.
That take all day.
You'd have to say with the weather and the wind. Obviously, that's going to make it worse.
Yeah, the damp.
Yeah.
Damp rubbish.
Or with the wind coming through.
Mm. Mm. Ashton, in Ipswich, is it bad out there?
Yeah, mate. I have to drive past it to work every day. I'm actually about to drive past it now. I've got my car and it smells like a burning
smell. Like a burning smell?
I thought it was my car for ages.
Oh. Did you?
But it's, it turns out it's not. It's gross.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much you know that button where you can circulate just the air in your car and not bring new air in. Like I think that's a myth, that thing.
Yeah.
But you press it and it doesn't make a difference.
No.
Good on you, buddy. 13 10 60 is our number.
All right, Carl and Yadler, you've got a story about the Ipswich Pong. You work in the industry.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on out there?
Well, first of all, thank you for a great show. It's a nice way to start the day. We all appreciate your effort.
Oh, thanks, Carl.
Legend. Oh, thanks, man.
second of all, remember when you put the transponder in the recycling rubbish and it, you know, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, Carl, I should explain that to people. We wanted to know where the recycling actually gets recycled, so we wanted to put something in there to tag. Yeah, the person
that was me that got that started.
Yes.
It was me on the phone.
Listening.
Here's what's happened since then, guys. Mm. The Ipswich government now charge $168 a ton for rubbish to be dumped at Ipswich. All right, so it's now a rule throughout Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens now is the Ipswich government is making just over $120 a ton for every ton that's landed out there. So what's happening now is all the boys are bringing the rubbish up from Sydney.
Oh.
You're getting over 1,500 ton a day of Sydney rubbish being dumped into the Ipswich landfill.
That makes my blood boil.
We don't want Sydney rubbish.
Sydney's dumping their rubbish.
Carl's got a solution.
There's a solution. You guys can help the world here. You want to make a difference.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is led by Switzerland in this situation, and they have what's called a zero burn rubbish system. And what basically real simple terms, because you're on the show, you burn rubbish, the smoke gets burnt and burnt and burnt, and it has absolutely zero pollution effects. None. Nothing whatsoever released into the atmosphere. For every ton of rubbish that'll burn, it will power a house for 8 hours.
Right.
So they will not do it. They burn their rubbish to create heat and energy.
There you go, Matt.
Right. So
what country did you say was doing it?
Switzerland leads the way, but there's now it's done worldwide now, except in Australia, because our politicians genuinely are sick, unfortunately. Sadly, and I don't have government contracts anymore. I mean, I explained a bit of my history to you guys before, right?
Yeah.
So I don't care anymore. But there is a solution, and they won't do it. It's sad.
Right. Well,
I wonder is it just costly to set up, Carl?
No, not overly. Look, we looked at it financially. It's about a $50 million set, which is really, in the grand scheme of things, nothing. But that's why Ipswich smells. That's why, and the government are making over $110 every ton out of it. So they're not going to stop it.
They're not going to stop it. It'll be interesting to know who actually does get that money, whether it's shared. Like I'm saying, if the local government is complaining about the smell, but yet they're getting some money for it being dumped.
Mm. Sure, the people. It's all for the people, isn't it?
Mm. Investigation coming, Carl.
Yeah, there is a stink out there. Bronwyn and Denmore. Ipswich Pong, what do you think about it?
It's not good. It actually smells like gas. When I first smelled it, because there's a gas place that is near me, I actually thought it was that.
Right.
But then I found out it was the actual dump. The new chum dump, and then they were talking about it's the amount of water that's in there.
Like contaminated water and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's been worse since it's been raining.
That's what I was going to say. Is it worse at any time of the day or to do with the wind and the rain, I guess?
In the morning it's really bad and sometimes later evening. But, it's been going on for over a year now. It's just really bad.
2018, they reckon the complaint started.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like anyone's doing anything about it.
No, they're not.
Well, it sounds like we do have some sort of solution. We just need $50 million.
Or move to Switzerland.
Yes. Sure.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Irene Falcone.
Founder of Nourished Life and Sans Dreams.
Irene Falcone.
This might not surprise you, but Australians like a drink. We have had a bit of an issue with alcohol, I think Australians have, and they're saying that 4 in 5 adults have consumed alcohol within the last year.
Yeah.
So majority of people would drink.
The fifth is lying.
I'm fascinated by this because I've been trying to do it more when I go out. Irene Falcone, you are the owner of Sans Drinks, which are non-alcoholic, correct?
Yes, everything non-alcoholic.
So this is, because it blew my mind, I went to a bar the other day and it was a really popular bar and in the menu they had equal amount of non-alcoholic beverages on offer for alcoholic. I'm talking about everything from cocktails and different gins that were non-alcoholic, and it feels like we're all coming around to accept it a bit more.
That's fantastic. That you found a bar that does that.
Sorry, I had the cocktails, by the way. I should state that. You gave me way too much praise.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, it was on offer, you know?
The option was there. If, you know, you were out with friends and you were the designated driver, or you were on antibiotics, or you simply wanted to take a break.
It is great. And it is such a good, I've done it a few times with the non-alcoholic beers, because when you decide to take a sabbatical in Australia, it's really tricky because people just berate you if you're not drinking. Literally, they will. But it says here that you don't think that they should be sold in supermarkets. What's the thinking behind that?
Because when they're in a supermarket, and they're on display, and you've got your Heinekens, and you've got your Carlton Zero, you've got your McGuigan's wines, and you've got all these supermarket sort of brands, really what you're doing is you're advertising that brand to people who are underage, and there's no one behind the counter to educate people. So you can literally be, like literally my 13-year-old can walk into a supermarket and buy a Carlton Zero. Mm. Is that really the best form of advertising to people under 18? And is it a gateway to the alcoholic version when they're older?
It's funny you talk about advertising, because I know you've got a background from it, and I loved studying it at uni, and I was talking about how so many advertising firms will be, they do so much research into how we consume. You know, they've got different advertising psychologists that know how we'll purchase things. And I guess from your advertising background, it's kind of having that connection where it can actually be sexy, I guess, to not drink. Because normally we're used to seeing all these adverts with all these beautiful looking women and men, you know, drinking alcohol. Yeah. So it's just sort of changing our perception, isn't it?
Yeah, when I set out to start Sans Drinks, I thought, and you're right, I come from Universal Pictures, so I come from, marketing movies. And so I love marketing and I love getting into people's psyches. And I thought that wouldn't it be amazing if you could take these daggy old drinks and make them sexy? And that was really my goal, which is really interesting because I'm like almost 50-year-old mum of four and I'm trying to make a product sexy. non-alcoholic wine was featured in the reboot of Sex and the City in the last season. And I sort of watched that and thought, well, you know, my work here is done.
It's great. Have you found your health since not drinking? Have you found any improvements that you were maybe a bit surprised about? Because I always notice if I don't drink, I always sleep so much better.
Well, I was going to say the sleep thing. And so what's really interesting is I would always, because I'd find it really hard to get to sleep, and that's when I'd have the bottle near my bed and I'd drink a few glasses of red wine, the alcoholic stuff before bed. Mm. I didn't realise this. Even though drinking alcohol does imply that you are going to sleep, actually passes you out.
Yeah.
And when it wears off, you wake up and you don't get into this REM rhythm sleep thing. It's actually very bad for your sleep. And I have found that in the last 5 years, since not drinking alcohol or drinking a non-alcoholic replacement, I am sleeping throughout the night. And that's not just resulting in a better night's sleep, but I'm less grumpy and I've got more energy the next day, and there's just so much connected with having a good night's sleep. So I would say that would be the number one thing I've noticed.
Well, you're on the ball with this one, and it's really picking up steam. You sort of had a bit of a future view there. What's the next thing you can see coming along that is going to be the next big thing that we should all invest in, so we can steal all that money from you?
Yeah, people ask me that because I did it twice. You know, I did it with natural beauty way before anybody thought about natural beauty, and then I did it again with this.
Cancer-free cigarettes. Yeah, well.
Yeah, and no, I think I'm done.
Okay.
I'm
done.
Okay. Well, great to talk to you. You're the founder of Sans Drink. It's a Sans Drinks. It's a non-alcoholic beer, wine and spirits superstore. Irene, lovely to chat this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Great to talk to you.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
We love it when we find out that B105 is part of a tradition that we never knew that we're a part of.
Yes.
But this is beautiful because Beverly, or Bev, listens to the show, and maybe she's done it for many, many years. Right. And every time they have a grandchild, they will work out the time that they were born and work out what song was played on B105 at that time. And that will become their song
for life. I love this.
So they ring the radio station and ask the receptionist, which you can do any time.
Yes.
They,
yeah.
And we can go back through our log music logs okay. Yeah. And tell them.
Yeah, well, they could listen themselves, but I guess they were busy at
they
the hospital.
They were busy.
So they gave a call.
Well, maybe they're playing it in the delivery room.
Maybe that's right. She asked what was playing at 8:54 on the 12th of May. And we said, well, it's actually this one. It's Coldplay and BTS. Never ending forever, baby.
That's
so
a good one.
Yeah, they've got a new granddaughter, and that's going to be her song
that's
for her
good,
life. And
it?
I really like that. Yeah. I was like, I don't... Like, hubby and I were like, we don't really have a song. We have a lot of songs that we like together, but we don't really have a the song.
To be fair, it was the National Tiles commercial. That was the song that played just after it. Right? So we had to just...
Now, babe, you got very lucky. You know what your song is for the rest of your life. You TheGroutGuys.com.au.
Right up, right down. But we thought, well, why don't you, do you guys know what, we don't know what our song is. So we thought, why don't we work out what was the song that was number one when we were born, talking about the month and the year.
I would have made the music director go all the way back those years and check the B105 logs.
I can't work out which Beethoven one it's going to be for me.
So who do you want to start with first? Do you want to do it up?
Let's get start. Let's go. Oh, yeah, we do. All right, let's start. Let's do producer Tay.
All right, okay. Producer Tay, this is yours, okay? All right.
This is so not my vibe. It ages me as well, I feel.
Well, it's not that old.
It sounds pretty old.
I don't like it.
All right, what about Ash? This is yours.
Oh. Oh.
Good one.
Classic. You're going to have to shave your head, Ash.
Both of those could have been playing during conception.
Lionheart.
You've never heard it?
Nice.
It sounds like the other one, How Can We Be Lovers, yeah. That's very good.
How do I get you
my
alone?
My mum used to play all that music. What's mine?
You ready?
Are you ready? Because okay. Yours is this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thursdays. Yeah. Thursday. Yeah. Thursday? Yeah.
We're ignoring it. Or ignoring it.
Okay. Here we go. This is good.
Is it?
Is it good? Great song. That is a that's a banger.
Was this in Dirty Dancing?
No. Oh. Do you want it to be? Yes.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
As another show draws to a close, Stav, Abby and Matt take a moment to reflect.
Yeah, so I feel like my husband and I communication, if it's a rain day, he doesn't want to tell me that he's not working. So he still says I'm working, right?
Mm.
But I go, well, if you're not working, would you be able to maybe do the washing or something like that? So he goes, no, I'm working. The thing is, he forgets that we've got the security cameras that I get alerts for so I can see that he's there. So I message him going, I can see you. You're not working. He's just disconnected them.
Ah. Well, he unplugged the camera.
Yeah.
He needs to do like a speed and put
there's
a photo
an alarm
of an
that
empty
goes
house
off when
there.
He does it. Oh, yeah, but okay. He's plugged it out internally so I can't see.
Points.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Mold.
Thanks,
mold.
But no thanks.
We've got it on some like wicker style pieces of furniture in our house. There's nothing you can do about it. Everyone says clean it with bleach. That will ruin it. So I also read online that you can use vinegar.
Vinegar's
went to
good.
The shop. It's like no, the toilet paper Armageddon. Everyone's bought up vinegar. So I got the most expensive because everyone got the cheapest. But my five-year-old on the weekend goes, Daddy, why does it smell like chippies in our house?
Yeah.
And I was like, salt and vinegar chips. That's her favourite. She's like, it smells so good. Well, it doesn't. It's annoying. Thanks. But no thanks.
Weekend, my mum's dog gave birth to 7 puppies.
Cute.
Yeah, very cute.
Border collies.
Border collie puppy dogs.
You getting one?
See, this is my thanks, but no thanks, Maddie. Exactly that. because now I'm going to have to put up with that. I'm going to have to stick
Have you firm. Had a look at them yet?
I've seen photos.
Are you going to go and have a look?
Yeah, we'll go and play with the puppies.
What about if Kat has a look?
Yeah, they can both have a look, and then they can both put the puppies down and get back in the car and
what
go home.
What about if Kat goes, Stav, I really want one?
I'll say have fun at the other house.
Didn't you say no to the first one?
I did say no
and
to
you've
the
got
first
one.
One. I've already said no to one puppy before as well, so it's not going to happen.
Remember when you said you were not going to build a fence so you could get a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Thanks.
Which one are you going to get?
The biggest one. No, thanks. Stav, Abby and Matt. Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.